Let's do a show about being married.
Maybe later.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Roni's Own Radio. This is my wife, Colleen Roni.
Hi there.
The blood type of I don't know what.
Not important.
Well, we got an email that somebody said that I didn't introduce people properly.
They
want to
know my blood type?
No.
They just wanted to know about me.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't take offense to that. And
she's wearing pajamas.
Nice. Thank you. Actually, I am, and it's all right because I'm at home and I'm with you.
They're wonderful pajamas.
That's nice. Thank you.
No slip.
Okay. No.
She has a little sockies on.
Yeah, a little socks. You're funny. Anyway, why are we here again?
Oh,
what are we talking about?
Correct.
What are we talking about?
Let's talk about the NBC show, The Book of Daniel.
Awesome show, dude.
Okay. Which stars Aidan Quinn.
Yes.
And a number of other folks that...
Susanna Thompson's his wife.
Right.
And Ellen Burstyn is his bishop.
Yeah, Ellen Burstyn.
Like his boss.
Yeah. So she was from The Exorcist and now...
Kind of ironic.
...movie about a priest.
Kind of ironic.
It's a very unconventional show
mm-hmm.
about a priest who has a Vicodin problem. His family is coming apart at the seams, but what's interesting is that's what happens to all families. I mean,
right. Well, it's funny because the first thing I thought when I was watching it was, wow, this is very Desperate Housewives meets Seventh Heaven. Both really good shows,
right.
Completely opposite ends of the spectrum, and yet this one has blended the two of them very, very well.
True.
So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting show, but you're right, it's very controversial, and I know it's been... banned in certain states and what have you.
Certain cities and
right.
At least one state. Anyway, but the what I want to do is discuss it. And there was a couple of points where we felt a little uncomfortable.
Sure.
There was a point in the message that he was giving that you kind of
it wasn't right necessarily.
Yeah.
And mostly because that's what I grew up knowing and
mm-hmm.
how I feel. What somebody else may disagree with me and they're entitled to do right. so, but I just particularly didn't care for it. But here's something that I will say. Just because I don't agree with something doesn't mean that it's not a good thing or doesn't mean that it's not okay to have that opinion or discuss. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't agree with, but
right.
everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
True.
Anyway.
Well, there was a point where he delivered what I considered it, right? Using the God's name in vain. So, and then later on, he actually talked to Jesus, because that's part of what this show is about, is not only is he a priest, he believes in Jesus, but Jesus actually appears to him, and he talks to Jesus.
Right.
Which
right. And it actually has its comedic moments when that happens, but it's also got the poignant and the
right.
very serious moments.
So anyway, he used God's name in vain, as far as I'm concerned, and then later on, he apologized to Jesus about it, and he said, but I really wanted you to damn someone. I wanted that to happen. And so Jesus
But then
said,
he also apologized and said,
right.
well, you're right, I was being angry.
Right.
I was just angry. And Jesus comedically said, yeah, well, you don't have that much power anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is very funny, but... It's kind of weird because growing up and having a specific view of Jesus and then seeing him in this scenario and realizing he can laugh and make jokes, it's kind of a weird thought process. And I think a lot of people will, that's where they're going to struggle is
right.
that this Jesus that they're seeing is not necessarily a wrong view, but it's very different than what they're used to.
Now, I will say this, that this is not the Jesus of The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, no.
This is not the Jesus of the bits I've seen of Jesus Christ Superstar. So,
no, and it's definitely not the Jesus of Passion of the Christ either.
True.
It's a slightly just different
It is the
More
Jesus
so.
Of the Passion of the Christ of that little snippet when he was with his mom
right.
building the table.
Right.
And
it's a bigger, broader view. And what I mean is it's not the exact same, but it's probably closest to that one.
Right.
Which is interesting. Maybe we should talk about the show and kind of give an overview of what the show's about.
Well, all right, I'll give it a shot and you can help me. I'm not going to give away all the plot because maybe all these folks T-voted and we're waiting for our review. Right. Okay, maybe. So Aidan Quinn is Daniel Webster, an Episcopalian priest who is married to
Judith.
Judith, it's his wife. And they have three children.
Yes.
Grace is the youngest daughter.
Yes.
She is a manga artist.
Yes.
On the computer. And to
Japanese anime, for those of you that don't know what manga is.
Right.
Because I didn't know what that was either.
So let's kind of run down everybody's problem. It's funny, this script is almost like a classic script writer's first year script. Because everybody has a problem, and it's just very obvious. So
yeah.
Daniel Webster is addicted to Vicodin, and Judith is
fond of the martinis.
The martini.
She's very fond of him.
Grace wants to be a manga artist.
And she's good at it.
And she is good. And she, to raise capital, she sells marijuana.
Right.
So, then we have the son who's gay. What's his name?
That's Peter.
Peter. Okay.
Peter's gay and he's going to be a doctor.
Right. Right. And then the other son is an adopted Chinese young man.
Right. His name is Adam.
Adam.
And he's extremely hormonal.
Yeah.
He's a teenager, and yes. He's very hormonal, and has a girlfriend, Caroline. And her father is the deacon in the church, one of the deacons. And pretty stiff and straight-laced.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's real interesting what plays out with those
two
folks.
So, just as we've kind of named all these things out, you can kind of see without actually watching the show how the things are going to kind of twist and turn. There's definitely more folks involved, but that's really the main crux of the cast right there. What I enjoy is that the family is not perfect. I've known a lot of people, and I've grown up in a family, and my family was not perfect.
Well, and honestly, it's kind of an old adage, but growing up it was the pastor's kids, or PKs, as we call them, they were the worst of the worst because they were the most rebellious. And in some respects, understandably so. I mean, the pressure is phenomenal because not only do you have your parents caring what you do or don't do when you rebel or don't rebel, you have an entire congregation usually that watches you grow up. And depending on how big the church is, it can be a lot of people who are constantly telling mom and dad what you're doing. Oh, I saw your daughter doing this, or I heard your daughter say that. And it's very, very difficult. I was not a PK, but I've had friends who were. And I watched people growing up in high school and, you know, even younger who rebelled like you would not believe. And it was always the old adage was, oh, well, those PKs are the worst. Some of them have, you know, not quite as bad as others, but it's...
Well...
It is reality.
Okay. Let's talk about one of the main issues. Now, we kind of touched on it, but the Jesus that we read about in the Bible healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the 5,000,
right.
Talked to women caught in adultery, women with many sins, fishermen... He prayed a lot.
Tax collectors.
He died on a cross, and he rose again. Okay?
Yeah, pretty much in a nutshell.
So, we never really knew a Jesus that laughed at jokes, or that maybe kind of kidded around a little bit.
We forget that he's human. He was human. And we forget that quality about him. It's so funny. We separate ourselves from him. And rightfully so, because obviously he's perfect and we're not. But, I mean, we forget that he was a human being. He made messes in his diapers when he was a baby. He probably said no to his parents on more than one occasion. He cut himself, I'm sure, on rocks and nails and what have you. I'm sure he got splinters when he was, you know, being a carpenter. You know, he enjoyed probably a lot of different things, and while he may have been a little more serious than most kids his age, I'm sure he had his moments of his little, you know, human being stuff.
Right. So it is a new kind of a way to really consider Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the show.
I think it's a great show. I hope it stays around for quite a while.
The story is engaging. there were a number of moments when Aidan Quinn was talking to Jesus, and it touched me, and it really it felt good to see that. To, you know, there's a scripture in Philippians, I believe, where it says that, and Jesus didn't consider it a problem, I believe, to empty himself and to come to earth. He left his divineness, his total divineness, part of it in heaven, and he came to earth to be a man. Right. And that's what I really appreciate, the fact that they are, in a way, writing that part where Jesus is a friend. Mm-hmm. We know Jesus as a baby. Mm-hmm. We know him as a savior. Mm-hmm. But we don't know him as a friend, really, because of what we read in the Bible. I was thinking about it today, and the only time that I remember him being even kind of friendly and kind of just talking about things was the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
When he just kind of happened by and just started talking and asking some questions, can you give me some water? You know, and that's about the only time, really, that we see kind of a non-healing, a non-feeding, a non-confrontational discussion. Most of the time, he was trying to be tricked and tripped up and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
all this kind of stuff. But it was very, very, a lot of really, really cool moments, I thought. And it is not a perfect show.
No.
But I really appreciate it. Now, I will say this. If this may be a lot of the Bible a lot of people may get by watching this show. And I don't know that is perfect or that is like the best. But if you know the Bible, I think it's okay for you to watch this show, because it'll give you another view of something that you know. And I don't have a problem with it. Obviously, you need to really sift out what you need to sift out.
You know what? It's funny. Two things. One is, I've always said this. If you go to a restaurant and you order a salad, and the salad shows at your table, and there's one little piece of lettuce that has a little bit of brown on it, do you throw away the entire salad? No, you pretty much pick out that bad little piece, and then you eat the rest of it, because the rest of it's clearly very good. So this is my challenge to the believers and the folks who are of the Christian persuasion who might be hesitant to watch this show. You don't have to accept every single little thing they say as being the gospel truth. You know, you should know what is right from wrong, and you should know what is true from what is not true, or you should know what is an exaggeration. Take the good and leave the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, that's all you have to do. Second thing is that I think a lot of people get so caught up in the boycotting this because we can't have this message being spread. My question to you is, why not? Because at least there's some good in it,
right?
And maybe, just maybe, somebody will take the good out of it. It's not up to us to determine what people think or feel or believe or how they act. It's really not our responsibility. So to say that this show can't be on the air, or that it shouldn't be shown, or that it can't be reviewed and it can't be watched and it can't be enjoyed by Christian folk, I think that's a little harsh and a little ridiculous, and actually a little pious and a little self-righteous. I know that sounds really harsh, but I have to say it, because the reality is the show has a lot of good messages. I mean, Daniel's going through a difficult time when his brother-in-law just died, and Jesus walks up behind him and puts his hand on his shoulder and just gently rubs his shoulder, comforting him in this time of trial. At the same time, they're sitting, you know, in a whole other scene, they're sitting outside, and he's about ready to take his pills, and Jesus snatches him away and gives him a lifesaver instead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hilarious. And then they start talking about, you know, reading in books, and they start making up names of books, and some of the names are hilarious. In fact, one of them, Daniel says, Jesus himself cracks a joke and goes, "My Tuesdays with Jesus." And then Daniel says, "Oh, no, here's one. I'm okay, you're divine." And he goes, "That's good, that's my favorite one." I mean, Jesus said, mm-hmm. "That's my favorite one." Mm-hmm. I mean, It's just, it's mind-boggling. Yeah. There are just moments like that in the whole show where you just kind of think to yourself, oh, man, I wish I'd thought of that, or wow, that's a really different perspective, or, you know, I never thought about it like that.
From what I understand, again, we've already said that the gentleman that wrote this is a gay man.
Right, he's proclaimed.
What if, now just dream with me for a minute. What if the church loved him? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
What if they really reached out to him,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and said,
mm-hmm,
we thank you, mm-hmm, for giving us another view of Christ, and really loved him, instead of boycotting again, causing a ruckus again, having Pat Robertson say something again, and being backed, you know. I mean, what if we really acted like Christ this time and loved the writer and say thank you for giving it to us, because it's our own fault as Christians for not stepping into Hollywood. We have left Hollywood, and Hollywood is doing what Hollywood does because we're not around.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head. We should be loving him, because if you look at it the way he's portraying it, mm-hmm, Jesus, by all means, if he were living by Christian standards, should be condemning, mm-hmm, Daniel to hell, mm-hmm, condemning his whole entire family to hell, and telling him what a horrible, awful person he is, and should, by all means, stop talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just too much picking and choosing who Jesus will love and who Jesus will, mm-hmm, care about. And I know we already said this on another show, but last time I checked, for God so loved the whole stinking world. Mm-hmm. He didn't pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, for God loved the people who proclaim themselves as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved only the Americans, mm-hmm, who go to this church, and that church. It was the whole world. Good, bad, and otherwise. And I think it's very easy to forget, and it's kind of almost embarrassing, in my opinion, that a quote-unquote sinner, and I'm not saying that he is, that's not, you know, that's neither here nor there, but the fact is that most Christians would look at this writer, creator, producer of the show and say he is a sinner, and for him to point out Jesus in a way that Christians should be seeing him,
mm-hmm,
that Christians should be portraying him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, it's almost embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
Right. And I'll tack on to what you were saying. God is the judge.
Absolutely.
Not you, not me.
Right.
We have the Bible, but God is the judge. I just want to end on this note. The thing that is interesting to me is that someone who isn't going to church has expressed Jesus to a wider audience than any pastor could ever think. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right.
Isn't that amazing?
It's actually very, again, embarrassing.
This isn't a TBN production.
Nope.
This isn't a CBN production.
Nope.
This isn't a Billy Graham film.
Nope.
Okay? I mean, you talk about coming from left field or some different area. I mean, again, I think it's wonderful,
mm-hmm,
but it's funny that it's not a Christian show.
Right, right. Isn't that interesting? And the funny thing is that if you really watch and listen to what he's saying, if you really measure it up against the Bible, again, not every little grain of truth was, or not every little grain of whatever he spoke was true, but more than enough of it was. And sadly, not just the stuff about Jesus, but exposing what happens in real life.
Sure.
And showing people in the ministry,
mm-hmm,
people, human beings who, mm-hmm, are not in the ministry,
right,
having issues and problems.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. It's so funny.
Yeah.
We could just talk about this forever.
I know. The bottom line, try it out. Try the show out. Please try not to listen to that roar of the crowd that says, no, this show needs to go and you can't watch it. And if you're in an area where they pulled the show, try to get somebody to TiVo it or something. I don't know.
Tape it and
there
send
are,
it to you.
There are a lot of other means to get shows to you. But I highly recommend that you see this show at least once and then make a determination. Let's be different for once. Let's see something and then make a determination. How's that?
Right. Because didn't the majority of the people make their comments based upon what they heard, not what they saw?
Well, I don't know that for sure, but that has been the case in the past. Okay? I want to thank you guys for your time. And this, again, is a Roney's Own Radio special edition. Jeff Roney and...
Colleen Roney.
Sam, see you later.
Bye.